Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the text for today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so what happened after Jesus rose from the dead? Well, we know from Paul on Easter Sunday and from this lesson today that he made his way to visit the disciples who were gathered together, hiding for fear of the Jews. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he went on to reveal himself to other disciples, up to and over 500, who were still, many of whom were still alive to that day as he wrote that epistle. In this gospel lesson, we also learn that Thomas was not there. And that story is unforgettable, and all of us can relate to it because we have a desire to see and not just believe. But this sermon is going to focus on the first things Jesus said to these gathered disciples. The first thing he did when he gathered together with them that evening, the first day of the week. And this text reveals that Jesus is determined to establish the mission of the church, beginning with the disciples. For they had stumbled, and they had need of forgiveness and restoration, even and especially Thomas and Peter. And this text simply establishes how our relationship with God is established and sustained. It was similar in the Old Testament, but then there was all that blood, dead things, burning things. Jesus had changed all that. The Lamb of God gave himself once for all. So that isn't the way that we relate to God. It's because at this point, the Old Testament system of sacrifices had been abrogated, ended, therefore. Therefore, those folks in the Seventh-day Adventist church go off on a wrong turn, horribly wrong, keeping the Old Testament law. The Jews of Jesus' time, in the time of the apostles, struggled with understanding what this was all about. And so the first thing the Lord does when he arises and comes to speak with his disciples in the upper room is to establish his mission and ministry, even through them, those who had struggled, stumbled, scattered, and denied him. He says to them, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." The Lord doesn't take any time for small talk, but gets right down to business. "Peace be with you." These are the men who scattered and denied. They had failed in every sense of the word and would have bad memories of that fateful evening, especially as they considered and how it was recorded and what was recorded about them, how they behaved at that supper. They were arguing about who was the greatest. Nobody had bothered to wash anybody's feet. Humility was lacking. And then came the warning from Jesus and the boasting from them. From Peter, "I will never deny you." And from the disciples, the rest of them who agreed, we would never leave you. And so when Jesus appears, they were hiding. They weren't brave men by nature. They weren't even fit for the ministry by nature. But Jesus comes and he makes it clear to them that there is peace. Look at my hands and my side. It is me. I have risen. Hallelujah. And they were glad to see him. He says to them, it is I, peace. For this is the Prince of Peace, the one who came to make peace between God and man. And that's the problem. How can there be peace when I have failed? That is the problem that we all struggle with each day of our lives, even as we live in the midst of this pandemic and worry about what it means for us. And so he says it again to them. After they were glad, having seen his hands and his side, recognizing it was him, he says to them, peace be to you. But how? How can I and God, how can God be at peace with me, a sinner who has failed him in the most difficult time? And that's what Jesus has come to settle. With all the disciples, even as they will be the ones who will be going out into the world to preach peace and forgiveness to the ends of the earth. So Jesus gets right down to the matter at hand. Peace with God was rooted in the sacrificial system, the animals, the blood, but now everything was changed. And they probably understood that, although they didn't quite. The reason they scattered was because they didn't completely understand, nor could they bear to look at what their sins has brought on this innocent man. But everything had changed. These Old Testament rites, a lot of people make them up into rules. This is how people were saved, because they kept the rules. No, there's no truth in that at all. These were all matters of faith. Oh, they had to do them the right way, in part because they confessed and pointed to Christ. And if you changed anything, of course, you would be changing a preaching of Christ, in part. For all of these things pointed to the person of Christ, but they were shadows, the Bible tells us. In Hebrews 8, it says, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he, that is Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises, not blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of this one, the Lamb of God, once and for all. Hebrews 9:28 and chapter 10 say, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have been ceased to be offered. And then Paul in Colossians 2 says, so let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So the shadows are displaced. The shadows are removed. Christ has risen with healing in his wings. This morning star comes to shine in this dark room. The Lamb of God displaced these things which were only shadows, the true Lamb of God, who once for all settled everything, whose once for all sacrifice was now complete, and whose resurrection assured us that death, that is the curse, has been overcome and life has swallowed up death. So with this new reality, Jesus prepares his disciples for their mission of forgiving and retaining sins in the world. For that's what the Old Testament effectively was about in more than one way. We don't have to offer a sacrifice, for Christ was the once for all sacrifice. And on the basis of that sacrifice, which was offered for the sins of the whole world, my debt has been paid. I have peace with God. And whenever I fall, whenever I stumble into sin, whenever I become ensnared, and I return to the blood of Christ. I return to the cross. I return to that place where Christ died in my place, was buried, and my sins with him. And in baptism, I was buried with him and rose again. But there's no need for sacrifice. The disciples would go out into the world and they would proclaim forgiveness. Or, if there was impenitence, they would proclaim that the sins were retained by the person. The office of the keys. That's the first thing Jesus does when he gets his disciples together effectively. The Holy Spirit is given, he says. Receive the Holy Spirit and enables us to carry out the office. The Holy Spirit, Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross, will bring to mind all that I have ever said. He will teach you all things. He is the teacher par excellence for not just the disciples, but for every Christian. And his words will enable us to listen and speak the right word to sinners. To those who are determined to continue in sin, your sins are retained. To those who have confessed to agree with God, their sin is forgiven. All this on the basis of the once for all sacrifice. And that is why those who play fast and loose with the law, accepting sin is okay, normal or natural. That's what psychology does, tries to describe what is natural for human beings. Well, that's a great category in theology too. Read what the scriptures say about natural man and ask yourself, is God pleased with that? What does he intend to do about it? What did he do to his son for all of those natural acts that human beings did? Those who play fast and loose with the law and who will not give up their sins, they deny what Christ did on the cross for the sins that they're stuck in, ensnared by. And hence they cannot have Christ. Their sins remain on them. They reject his work for them. We don't create our own Savior. The Holy Spirit is given so that the gospel might be applied, the forgiveness of sins be applied faithfully. That's the mission of the church. So that man may be at peace, even as Thomas, who struggled to believe, who wanted to rely on his eyes, as we see in the text. And after 8 days, Jesus comes back and he meets Thomas and he shows him his hands and his sides. And he said, now go ahead, put your finger here. And Thomas looked at him and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you to go out and preach, Jesus says, to proclaim law and gospel, sin and grace, to call sinners to repentance so that the gospel may be applied. faithfully. Jesus said after he had gotten done healing in Mark chapter 1, I have come to preach. Paul says that I know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. I boast in the cross of Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, for that is a life of faith. And these things are written, John says. These words are written so that they might be proclaimed, as they are this very afternoon. These things are written so that you might believe. That the words of Jesus may establish you and warn you. Your sins are forgiven, your sins are retained. Established, warning. Because you see, those who don't see are blessed, those who hear and believe. But wherever you happen to stand, the call is to repenting and believing. That's what Jesus will tell his disciples in Luke 24, that they are to go out into the world and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, so that you might have life in his name. That's what John says. You see, life comes from hearing the word, from being in the word. That's how life is established and created, and that is how life is sustained. That's why the church desires to be here on Sunday morning. Because they have heard this living word, this word that absolves and creates us anew and sustains us. We trust that this one did what he said he did, and that we can trust him without fail, even if we have failed and stumbled like the disciples. We come again and again to Christ, and the mission of God goes forth. Even here, it's established on this new order of things where we no longer offer or shed blood, but that we rest in the once-for-all sacrifice given and shed for us. We have peace which passes all understanding, and we receive that very body and blood as we remembered and we took on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. We receive that very body and blood. We confess that this is the body which was given for me, shed. This is the blood that was shed for me. We confess it. We agree. It's mine, this sacrifice, this Savior, this Lord. Amen.